we're actually going to jump out of the series for this week, and we're going to take some time this morning to talk about dads. Now, just because we are we're talking about dads, and maybe you're not a dad, or maybe you're not even a guy, it doesn't mean you're allowed to tune out, right? Or take a nap. So everyone can take something away from this sermon. It pertains to everyone. I'm just going to focus more on dads this morning, if that's okay. If you've noticed, I've titled the sermon for this morning, Goat Dad. No, this is not a sermon. It's not going to be a sermon to teach you how to be a dad to a goat. Bad, right? If you've watched sports any, you may have heard this term, goat, and what these letters stand for. Anybody know what these letters stand for?
I do.
What do you got? Yeah, good job. These four letters stand for greatest of all time. So if you've watched sports or been around the sports scene, you may have heard this thrown around a time or two. And when you mention the greatest of all times in the sports realm, you will hear names like Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Jerry Rice, Andre Agassi, Serena Venus Williams, Michael Phelps, LeBron James. These people have become the GOAT because of a lot of hard work and dedication. These are the people boys and girls aspire to be, don't they? Remember the song, Like Mike? If I could be like Mike, remember that? Why do people aspire to be like Michael Jordan? Because he's arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, right? He's the ideal. But here's what you need to understand about life. In life, there's the ideal, and then there's reality with me. The ideal might be like Michael Jordan, but reality is you couldn't make a basket if life depended on it, right? That's just reality. So what does this have to do with dads? Well, your ideal might be to be the greatest dad of all time to your kids, be the greatest person of all time to your loved ones around you. But the reality, reality is you may feel like you're coming up way short, right? But don't let that stop you from striving for it. Don't give up. If Michael Jordan would have given up, well, Mike would not have been like Mike, right? I mean, if he would have given up. And you know, some of you know his story. If you don't know his story, read his story. He didn't even make his high school basketball team and stuff. So in order for an athlete to become the greatest of all time, they have to put in a lot of hard work. Dedication, and practice, 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 right? In order to be the GOAT dad, you're going to have to put in a lot of hard work and dedication and practice, practice, practice. Today is the day we honor our fathers. It is interesting how Father's Day began. In 1910, there was a lady named Sonora Dode in Spokane, Washington. She was sitting in a church service on Mother's Day, and as she was listening to a sermon about mothers, she thought about her father. Her father was a Civil War veteran. Her mom had died early in life, so for all the years of her life and the years of her siblings, they had been brought up by their father. He was a very devout and godly man. She thought it would be a wonderful thing to have a special time to honor her father and all fathers. Because he was born in the month of June, she was able to have a special day honoring her father on the third Sunday of June in 1910 in Spokane, Washington. 56 years later, in 1966, Lyndon Johnson signed the proclamation declaring that the third Sunday in June would be set aside as Father's Day, a day when we would recognize and honor and pay tribute to our earthly fathers. One of the best things about being a parent, I think, at least for me, is just listening to some of the funny stuff my kids say, or kids in general will say. That's probably, to me, one of the best things about being a parent. I recently heard a story of a little boy who was sitting with his dad at church one Sunday morning, and as the offering plate was approaching his dad, the little boy was overheard saying, "Don't pay for me, Dad, I'm under five." I also heard about a little girl who walked out of the service after it was over, and she said to the pastor, "When I grow up, I'm going to give you some money." The pastor said, "Thank you, dear, but why?" And she said, because my dad says you're the poorest preacher we've ever had. True story. My dad was a pastor's kid. My grandfather was a pastor. And I think at one time they were at church, one time they were talking about some of the changes they needed to be made. And one of my uncles got up and said, yeah, the first thing we need to do is we need to get a new pastor. I think one of the sweetest things I've heard was in school one day, a teacher said to a little boy, what's the nicest thing your dad has ever done for you? And the little boy said, you married my mother. And what would a Father's Day sermon be without a Grady story, right? Yeah, G-Man. Grady's our three-year-old. A couple of months ago, he was wanting to go outside. It was a little chilly out. He had actually shorts and a t-shirt on. And he was adamant he was going outside. I said, you're not going outside until you go upstairs and put some pants on. And he looked at me. He took his shorts. He pulled his shorts down until they were right at the bottom of his shirt. He said, there, is that good enough? Man, I was like, that's probably one of the best things I've ever heard. I think I took the Walmart, like, I got a toy for that. I actually told Kara, like, dude, I was like, Grady just did probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen him do. It's close to him climbing the Christmas tree. I wish we would have written down all the funny things our kids have said and done. I'm sure we forget a lot of some of this stuff. Not the big ones. The Christmas tree will never forget. You guys will never forget the Christmas tree. For those of you who aren't here, my son, when he was one, he's probably 1 year old. When we were upstairs, he decided he was going to try and find the Christmas tree, and it just went everywhere. So that was not very good. I literally thought my wife was going to cancel Christmas that year. So he actually, this Christmas, he went in, and we had the tree decorated, the star was on the tree, and picked up a rolling lantern and put it on there. He went up to Carrie and said, hey, Mom, how'd that star get up there? I said, well, your dad lived in Brogan. He's like, I bet I can climb up there and get it. Hey, when you read the Bible, you find that it has a great deal to say about fathers. You will find many teachings and many directions and many words of guidance for fathers. You will find in the Bible actually also many examples of fathers. I think about Abraham, who's the father of the Hebrew race, also the father of the faith. I think about David, who was a great king, but he wasn't a very good father. I think about Joseph, who was the legal father of Jesus. He seemed to be a rather strong, silent kind of man. I think about the prodigal's father. What a beautiful scene it was when the prodigal son said, I will arise and go to my father. It pictures to us this wonderful love of our Heavenly Father, this grace and mercy. Here's the thing you need to realize. The first impression your children get of God is what they learn from you as a father. If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what will. The first impression your children get of God is what they learn from you as a father. This morning I want to take a look at a father from the Bible and see if there is something maybe we can learn from him in order to be a goat dad, greatest of all time dad. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, it'll be on the screen also. Go ahead and open up Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. You don't have to flip too long. I'm actually going to start in verse 21. We're going to read verse 27. And it says this, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lives 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years and then died. Now, there are a couple different characters mentioned in these couple verses here. And one is Methuselah. Now, Methuselah lived the longest life on record, 969 years. Man, I think I could feel exhausted after 37 years, right? Holy cow, 969 years, right? could tell us a thing or two about parenting or life in general, right? There was another character mentioned in these verses, and his name is Enoch. Enoch was Methuselah's dad. Enoch is known primarily by the fact that he walked with God. But there's something in the text which I think we need to pay a special attention to. In verse 21, it says, Enoch lived for 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then in verse 22, it says, and after he became a father, Enoch walked with God. It is specifically said in Scripture that this man Enoch began to walk with God after he became a father. Becoming a parent changes you, does it not? Having children changes your outlook and perspective on life. Children come along and suddenly new parents begin to think more seriously about life choices and responsibilities. There is nothing like the new parents of a firstborn child, right? Talk about crazy, right? I remember when Riley was first born, when we first had Riley. It would be late, it would be ready to go to bed, and I'm like, I don't hear Riley. I don't hear her. She's not making any noises. Carol, you get up and check on her. I was like, hey, go see if she's still alive. And Carol would be like, she's not making any noises because she's sleeping, you know. But now, five kids later, more lenient. Actually, a couple years ago, we were flying to Florida. We had four kids, suitcases, carry-ons, strollers, car seats. We're loaded down, and we're in the airport. We're trying to check some more luggage so we can have to carry it on the airplane. And then we're trying to corral four kids, and Oakley was just a baby. And one lady came up, she's like, you want us to hold your baby? I'm like, sure, go ahead. Pass him around. Pass him around. We don't even care. Go ahead. You know, we were the first person. No, whoa, no. Diseases, we don't know what you've been, where you've been, what you got. If you washed your hands lately, you know. Now we're just like, yeah, no, pass them all around. We're right here, we'll be fine, you know. We're just a little bit more lenient, but it changes you, right? And I'm sure I'm not the only guy who has prayed, hey, God, make me the father I ought to be. Or make me the man you intend me to be for my kids. And it seems to have been this kind of circumstance that caused Enoch to begin to walk with God. This morning, I want to give a couple quick suggestions to the dads to help them become the greatest of all time dads, the GOAT dads. And the first suggestion is this. Be sure you are on the right path. Be sure you are on the right path. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. That means that Enoch got on the right path. It was a difficult day when Methuselah came along. In fact, it was a society that made it difficult to be the kind of man you ought to be. But when this little one was born, something happened to this man, Enoch. The Bible says he began to walk with God. That means he got on the right path. That means Enoch was saved. Enoch opened his heart and his life to the Lord and received the Lord. Have you done that? Have you received the Lord in your life? The greatest thing you could ever give to your kids is to give them a dad who knows Jesus as personal Savior. Where are you leading your sons and daughters? You dads set the spiritual direction of your family. Make sure your life is on the right path. Make sure Jesus is at the center of your life. The sad thing is, for some men, they make other things the center of their lives. Some men make their work the center of their life. Your work is very important. Peter Lynch once said, no man on his deathbed ever regretted that he did not spend enough time in his office. Work is important, but it's not the main thing. Sports become the center of it in lives of others. I once heard about a guy that when football season was starting, he went over to the television, looked at his wife, and said, do you have anything to say before the season starts? And of course, many guys can identify with that. Sports are wonderful, but don't let your work, don't let sports, don't let other things be the center of your life. Let Jesus be the center of your life. You want to be the kind of father you need to be. Philippians 1:21 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and die is gain." Take a second to be honest with yourself. What would you say right now? What would you say? For to me to live is what? Is blank. What would it be to you? Here's the thing. If you put anything else there instead of Jesus Christ, you cannot say to die is gain. You have to say that to die is lost. Put Jesus in the center of your life. Enoch got on the right path. We certainly have cause to believe that Methuselah also got on the right path. We certainly have cause to believe that Methuselah was able to lead his sons and daughters to know the Lord. Men, you have a responsibility to your children. So step up. Have you ever thought about it? When you bring a baby into this world, you have brought a piece of eternity into this world. You had everything to do with their being here, and you will have a great deal to do with where they go after they leave you. Did you realize that there was never a time that Methuselah did not know that his father was walking with God? That's all he ever knew, was his father walking with God. Be sure you are on the right path. The second suggestion is this. Be sure you're going at the right pace. Be sure you're going at the right pace. If you walk with God, that means you are going at the right pace. It means you are walking at the pace God is going. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Actually, think about this morning. Like, man, that's a verse I need to tell my wife. Whenever we go for walks, she's like way up there. And I'm just like, and she's like, Mom, what are you doing? I'm like, what are you doing? Is there fire or something that I don't know about? What are you running for? She's like, come on, I'm walking. We actually went for a run one time, and I was running, and she was walking beside me. Like, we're supposed to be running. She's like, well, I can walk as fast as you're running. So. Can two walk together except in the agreement? It means that you're living the way God wants you to live. It means that you are on the journey walking with God. You're walking the way he wants you to walk. As a father, you have a teaching responsibility for your kids. You have the responsibility to teach them how to walk with God. It's not the church's responsibility. It's not the school's responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to teach them. Teach them how to be sure they are going at the right pace. Now, in the early years, when you try and teach them, they might not appreciate it as much as they should. It may go something like this. When I was 4 years old, I thought my dad could do anything. When I was 5, I thought my dad sure knows a lot. When I was 6, I said, my dad is smarter than your dad. When I was 8, I said, my dad doesn't know exactly everything. When I was 10, I said, in the olden days, when my dad grew up, things were really different. When I was 12, I said, oh, well, naturally, dad doesn't know anything about that. He's too old. When I was 14, I said, I don't pay any attention to my dad. He's so old-fashioned. When I was 21, I said to him, instead of him, hopelessly out of date. When I was 25, I said, dad knows a lot about it, but he should. He's been around a long time. When I was 30, I said, maybe we should ask dad what he thinks. After all, he's had a lot of experience. When I was 40, I said, I wonder how dad would have handled it. He was so wise. When I was 50, I said, I would give anything if dad were here now so I could talk it over with him. Too bad I didn't appreciate how smart he was. I could have learned a lot from him. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate, anger, irritate, annoy your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Teach your children. Get them on the right path. Get them going at the right pace. Spend time with your children. That's a big issue with most men. I read somewhere one time that the average man spends anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes a day with his children. That's not enough time. Dads are tired. I get it. They are physically tired, mentally tired, emotionally tired. Some of you men will get up early and go to the job. You're under tremendous pressure. You have to go to work early, work late hours. It's hard to work in that time. Well, let me encourage you, men, find some time to be with your children. Get on the right path. Go the right pace. And the last suggestion I have this morning is this. Be sure you're going to the right place. Be sure you're going to the right place. Verse 24 says, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. He went to heaven without dying. He never died. But his son Methuselah died, according to this passage of Scripture we read. Who do you think was the first person that met Methuselah when he went through the heavenly gates? I have a feeling that it was Enoch. Enoch, by walking with God, had led his son to the right place. Imagine for a moment that you are going to a funeral. And this funeral is your funeral. Anybody ever thought about that? I've actually thought about that. Here's the thing. What are your friends, what are your acquaintances, what are your business associates going to say about you? More important than that, what's your wife and what are your kids going to say about you? Where are you leading them? Fathers, are you leading your kids somewhere? Are you leading your kids to the right place? Because whether you know it or not, you're leading your kids somewhere. Where are you leading them? Enoch walked with God, then he was no more. God took him. Methuselah lived 969 years and he died. Where did he go? Not yet led heaven. A little boy came home one Sunday morning, and as some dads do, dad had stayed home to read the sports page and watch the game. The little boy came home and he was kind of fiddling around his dad's knee and trying to get his dad's attention. Dad was watching the game. After a while, the little boy just jumped up in his dad's lap. Dad held him and hugged him a little bit. Then the little boy looked at his dad and said, "Hey, Dad, guess what? Guess what the Sunday school teacher asked me this morning?" He didn't even take his eyes off the game. "What did the teacher ask you this morning?" The little boy said, "The teacher asked me when we died, where did we want to go?" That got Dad's attention. He looked down at the boy and said, "Son, what did you tell them?" The little boy crawled up a little closer and cupped his hand around his face and whispered to him in his daddy's ear, "I told the teacher, when I die, I want to go where my daddy goes." When your children die,